I tell you what, it is exciting to be able to be on the prayer line tonight and to be able to share with the Mission Prayer Network some of the exciting things that God did because you and others prayed. On a trip like this, we just got back from Uganda. We were there about 12 days. And we were ministering every day we were there, all day, every day. And the Lord moved time after time after time. And it was just so obvious. It was so clear that the Lord was able to move because there were people praying and there were people interceding and there were people doing spiritual warfare on behalf of us and the ones we were praying for. And I just want to thank y'all for that, because that for us made it easy, because all we had to do is just kind of show up and lay hands on people, and the Lord took care of the rest of it. And it was just really exciting to watch that happen. And I want to make sure that you know and understand that those who stay behind and pray reap the same rewards as those that go and do the work. And I want to just share with you, if you'll let me, I want to share with you some stories about what happened and let you know what you did. I want you to put yourself in the place of me or my wife, whatever the story is about, whoever's praying, put yourself in that place, because that was you there, your prayers there, that were doing these things. And I want you to rejoice. I mean, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. So anyway, so we went to Uganda. It was actually a fairly difficult trip because of all the travel that was involved. And we were out in some of the very remotest parts of Western Uganda. No internet, no Wi-Fi, no amenities at all. I mean, you know, the air conditioning was a fan in our room. And of course, it only ran when there was electricity, and there wasn't electricity all the time. So it was just, in a way, physically difficult, but spiritually it was very easy because of the prayer warriors that were behind. So the first couple of days, we were in the capital of Uganda, Kampala, and we rented a vacant lot, put up a couple of tents and some speakers, and somebody gets on the microphone and goes out over the speakers and starts calling people in and telling people, come in, to come over here, because we'll pray for you and God will heal you, and whatever needs you have, come on over and tell us about them and we'll pray for you. And so we prayed for, I'll bet you we prayed for 500 people during those first 2 days, and people just kept coming in and kept coming in. One of the ladies that came in first, the very first day, she was crippled, and so she had crutches that she was walking on. And we prayed for her, but as soon as we started to pray for her, she started manifesting demons. Now, she wasn't screaming or anything, but she would start shaking her head violently back and forth. And she had a bag, and she would cough and spit in that bag. And about every, 10 or 15 seconds, maybe 20 seconds. And if you quit praying for her, she quit coughing and spitting, and she quit shaking her head. And so we prayed for her for a while. She actually felt some improvement in her legs, was able to walk without her crutches some. And we told her, this was toward the end of the day, we said, look, come back the next day. We want to pray with you some more. And so she did that. And the next day she came back, and she was still manifesting these demons. And so Debbie and I, while other people were praying for other folks that were coming in, we had a team of about 11 people with us. So there were lots of folks praying for people. But anyway, while they were doing that, Debbie and I just sat next to this lady, and we just loved on her and prayed for her and did spiritual warfare over her and rebuked the demons and told them to be still and to leave her. And after about 30 minutes, all of a sudden, she quit shaking her head, and she quit spitting, and she got real calm, and she got real quiet. And so we asked an interpreter to come over and asked her what was going on. And she said, I'm free. I'm finally free. Now, we never did see her legs completely healed, but we did see her completely set free. She stayed and worshiped the Lord for quite a while. We prayed for her again later. She never did manifest those demons again. There was another Catholic girl that came up for prayer, and the bishop was praying for her, Bishop Chuck. And she was started manifesting demons, and Bishop Chuck called Debbie and said, come over here and help me pray. And they came over there and prayed for the girl. Now, this girl had, there was something wrong with her legs, and the Lord completely healed her. And then it was after that, that's when she started manifesting the demons. And so Debbie, again, it took a little while, but Debbie prayed over her, and boy, that girl was set free. She was just so excited. She said, I haven't felt this free in I don't know how long. There were a lot of people there in Kampala that were really under a lot of demonic oppression. They felt like their lives were hopeless. They were having nightmares and bad dreams and oppression. And I don't know of any of those folks that we prayed for that wasn't absolutely, completely set free. Listen, you were responsible for literally hundreds of people. Actually, we prayed for about 2,500 people for the whole trip. And I'll bet you that of those 2,500, 2,300 of them were healed, delivered, some combination of that, and you're responsible for that. One of the guys that showed up there in Kampala was a man named Frederick. He was in a wheelchair. He had been in an automobile accident and was completely paralyzed. He was a paraplegic. A young man has pushed Frederick up to where we could pray for him the first day. Several of us gathered around Frederick, prayed for him a little while, and it was right at the end of the day we had to go. And so we asked him, so Frederick, when we prayed for you, did you feel anything? And Frederick said, I'm feeling pain. I'm feeling pain in my legs and my arms. And we said, well, is that good or bad? He said, I haven't felt pain in my legs and arms for a long time. So he said, I think that's good. And we said, okay, good. Come back tomorrow. We're going to pray for you some more. And I mean, we had three or four people praying for him the next day for quite a while, maybe an hour or so. And I tell you, it was really exciting to be right there with him. Imagine yourself, you're right there, this paraplegic sitting in the chair, and all of a sudden he starts moving one of his fingers, and he says, oh, wow, I can move that finger. And you can see his finger moving. And then in a few minutes, he's moving a couple of other fingers. And then in a few minutes more, he's moving his foot. He hasn't been able to move his foot since the accident, and he's moving his foot. He's able to stand up with somebody helping him. I mean, it was just wonderful. Now, he wasn't completely restored because I think his muscles just needed to be, they were so atrophied that his muscles just needed to gain strength. But anyway, it was exciting there. Before I tell you some more stories, one of the things that happened was right before we left, Debbie came to me and she said, what are we going to Uganda for anyway? And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, I love praying for people. I love seeing people delivered and set free. But surely that's not all we're going for. I said, well, there'll be people that'll be saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. She said, no, there's got to be something more. She said, I really think that the Lord wants us to not just go and pray for people, but he wants us to teach people how to pray and teach people how to let God operate through them with miracles and teach people how to cast out demons and get people baptized in the Holy Spirit and that sort of thing. And so I tell you what we did. It wasn't uncommon for there to be a line of people standing in front of each one of us waiting to be prayed for. And so what we started doing was, you know, somebody come up for prayer, and before I prayed for them, I would ask amongst the people in line behind them, I would say, who wants to learn how to pray for the sick? And maybe two or three people would raise their hands. I'd say, okay, come over here. And they would come up toward me. I would get them to hold their hands out, you know, with their palms up. And I would anoint their hands with oil. And I would pray for them to activate in them the gift of working of miracles and healing the sick and those sort of things. And as I prayed over them, I prayed the scripture of Mark 16, 17, and 18, that this is what Jesus expects all of us believers to do, is to lay hands on the sick and see him recover, to cast out devils, to speak in tongues. And so I'm just activating in you the power that God has for you and for all of us believers that he wants us to operate in. I'm activating in you this gift of miracles so that you too can see miracles at your hands. Now, it wasn't uncommon at that point for the Lord to sometimes give a word to somebody. Like one guy I prayed for that way, he was actually the drum major of a marching band there at a little school. And the Lord said, now, your first indication of God wanting to use you to heal the sick is going to be one of your band members is going to come to you and tell you that you have a headache. When they tell you that, you pray for them, and God's going to heal them, and you'll see that God's going to work through you. So it was things like that. Or one lady, the Lord said, okay, now, you want to pray for the sick, but what's going to happen is you're going to pray for the first two or three people, and nothing's going to happen. God's testing you to see how serious you are about praying for the sick. So, but don't worry. After about the third or fourth person, you're going to see a miracle, and you're going to see lots of miracles after that. So, you know, she says, okay, good. Well, anyway, so we pray for these two or three people that want to help us, and then what I do is I get them to lay hands on this person, whoever they are, whatever they need, and to pray for them. What was really fun was to watch this happen, because somebody can come up and, like, one guy said, oh, I'm hurting on my left side, my whole left side. I've got pain in my whole left side. You got the pain right now? Oh, yes, it's hurting real bad right now. Okay, so we pray for this guy. The people with me are praying for this guy. And after a few minutes, he's moving around and shaking himself. And hey, the pain is gone. And then the very next guy, I've got pain in my back. I've had pain in my back for months, and I can't get rid of it. It's sharp pain running up and down my spine. We pray for him. God heals him. And so then I look at the people that helped me pray, and I said, have you ever prayed for anybody that was sick and they got healed? And they said, no, not before today. And I said, well, what about today? Have you prayed for the sick and see them healed at your hands? Yes, yes. And I mean, they were shaking their heads and big smiles and eyes real big. I mean, they were excited. Can we stay and pray for some more? And so then pretty soon, you know, I'd tell, okay, now you're through. You go on and let's get a couple more people to help us pray. And I'll bet you that between Debbie and I, we anointed and helped train like that literally hundreds of people to pray for the sick, and they got to see miracles. So, okay, well, let me keep telling some stories then. So we went to this little town in western Uganda. I say little town, a medium-sized town called Hoima. There was a man there that was deaf in one ear. We prayed for him, and he was able to begin to hear again. We went to a church that meets under a big tree, and those of you from Africa know what I'm talking about, these huge trees that have very dense concentrations of leaves, make a great shade. Then this church, that's where they meet. But as we arrived, it started sprinkling a little bit. They had a school nearby. Now, when I say school, many of you are from Africa, you know what I'm talking about. It's maybe a three-room building that has three 20-foot by 20-foot rooms. Maybe there are benches in there, maybe they're not. Maybe there's electricity, maybe there's not. There was none in this particular school. The roofs are what we call sheet metal in the United States, what they call iron sheets. And so they said, well, let's go into the school room. And so we packed about 200 people into one of these little school rooms. And as we got the people in there, it started raining harder and harder. And pretty soon it was a torrential downpour. It was raining so hard, you couldn't hear. I mean, you couldn't hear to talk. Matter of fact, we started singing and kept worshiping the Lord. You could hardly hear the singing. They were ecstatic over this rain because they had been praying for rain for months and hadn't had any. And they said, we think this is a sign that God is not only starting to bless us, but God is blessing your trip, and he's going to give you lots of miracles. Well, in that schoolroom, while we can't talk, all we can do is sing because the rain is so loud. After that, the bishop started having some words for people and prophetic words, asked if any of us did. And I said, well, Bishop, I heard the Lord say that he was healing people and delivering people while we were worshiping God. So he polled the crowd. I said, well, so how many people were healed or set free while we were worshiping? And three or four hands went up, and he said, listen, what you need to do is you need to move a little bit or test somewhere, you know, to see what's going on. Just test yourself. And folks started moving in, and all of a sudden a bunch of hands shot up. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, God has healed. And what was really cool was the bishop for that area, Bishop Araka, told us the story later. He said, about a week ago, I was gored by a cow. I was out in the pasture doing some things, and one of these longhorn cows come up. Listen, these cows have long, vicious horns. They are, they're nothing that you play with, okay? But anyway, one of my guests got upset with him and stuck him in the side with his horn and literally lifted him up off the ground and threw him down and then pushed him around some with his nose. And the bishop felt like he was lucky to get out of there with his life. Anyway, he had a sore and a lot of pain on his side from that bruising and had been in a lot of pain until the rain started and we started worshiping the Lord. And he said, you know what? While we were worshiping the Lord, all of a sudden I realized all that pain was gone and I could touch my side again and there's no pain at all. God has completely healed me and set me free. And I'm telling you, that's one of the things that happened because somebody was praying and somebody was interceding. And so then we said, okay, who wants prayer? Who's still not healed yet? We'll pray for you. And so a guy comes up and he's kind of reluctant. You know, it's like, I don't know if I really need prayer or not. My back's hurting some and I don't know if this is going to work. I mean, you could just tell he was reluctant. And so I got a couple of girls standing around, teenagers. I said, you want to pray for the sick? They said, yes. And, you know, and I anointed them and got them to pray for this guy. And we said, okay, so we've prayed for you. Did you feel anything while we were praying? How do you feel now? No, it still hurts. Okay, well, let's pray some more. And so we prayed for him a little bit more. And after a few minutes, he said, oh, wow, it's not hurting anymore. I'm really free. God really healed me. Okay, pray for my knees. It was like, okay, I believe it now. My knees hurt. Pray for my knees. And these girls that were with me, you know, we prayed for his knees and God healed his knee, took all the pain away from his knees. There was a woman there that came up for prayer and she said, I need prayer because my husband hasn't spoken to me in a year. Okay, how long have you been married? Well, a year. Oh, no, that's not very good. So we start to pray for her. And so I look around for somebody to help us pray. And I see a young man standing, I don't know, back at the up against the wall of this little school room. The Lord says, get him to come help you pray. So I motion to him, get him to come over here. We want you to help us pray for this lady. Turns out the guy is her husband. I mean, this is God leading all the way, you know. And we said, what is this? She says, you don't talk to her. You haven't talked to her in a year. Well, it's not my nature. You know, here he is. Strong African man, right? Not my nature to talk to my wife. Well, son, that's not okay for you not to talk to you. So anyway, we prayed with him. We counseled with him. And I mean, he kept insisting, oh, I can't talk to her. It's not my nature. For probably 5 minutes. And eventually we began to drive away any demonic spirits and oppressive spirits. And you could see him relax. And pretty soon he said, you know, you're right. I need to talk to my wife. I'm going to try to learn to talk to my wife. We got them to hug and they hugged and stuff. So, I mean, you know, it was all kinds of stuff that God was doing. It was exciting. Matter of fact, there at Hoima, even the people in the hotel, they were telling other people, they said they felt like angels had come to stay in their hotel with them. They were talking about the team. And all we were doing is just loving them like we're loving everybody else, you know. We went there in the Hoima area. There's a little town called Masindi. We went there, and one of the ladies that came up to Debbie for prayer, the top of her head, the bone, had never fused together. You know how it is with children. There's that seam in the top that eventually fuses together after they get old enough. The bones fuse, and it hardens. Hers never did, and she was having a lot of pain from it. After Debbie prayed for her and got some others to help her, well, this lady was completely healed. There was a Muslim woman in that service as well. Some friends had asked her to come because she had been having a lot of problems with mental oppression. She just felt very pressed in her mind all the time. She couldn't sleep, couldn't get a good night's sleep, and she wanted to be free. And so her friends invited her. We prayed over her. We bound up the demons and cast them away from her. And sure enough, boy, she got set free, and she knew it. She said, oh, yeah, my mind is free now. And I told her, the Lord said to tell her that those demons are going to try to come back. And when they do, you need to tell them, in Jesus' name, you leave me alone and be gone from me. Now, I don't know how well that's going to work in her Muslim environment, but she's going to use the name of Jesus, I'm sure. Hey, let me tell you another Muslim story real quick. So later, up on the western border of Uganda, the border with Congo, there was a refugee village that had become a town, or a refugee camp that had eventually become a town. We ministered there, and they had a big rally where they invited, I mean, all kinds of folks. Prime ministers, district leaders, pastors from the Presbyterian Church, the Anglican Church, all kinds of churches. They just invited everybody in the world, and they even invited the pastor of the local Muslim church, local mosque. And as it turns out, he sat right next to me. And so Bishop Chuck teaches, as he usually does, and teaches about having Jesus in us, and how having Jesus in us gives us, you know, we're in Christ and Christ is in us, and he wants to move through us and touch people's lives through us. And this guy's sitting there listening to all that. And then it comes time for us to pray for people. And about that time, the Lord spoke to me about this Muslim fella and said he has a headache, and he's had it for a long time. And if you will pray for him, if he'll let you pray for him, I'll heal that headache. I said, okay. I thought about that a while, and pretty soon Bishop Chuck says, okay, team, y'all go up and line up out there in the sunshine so people can come get prayer. And I got up to go out there, because I was thinking, I can't tell this Muslim guy that the Lord told me he's got a headache. I mean, good grief. I just don't think I can do that. So I started to get up to go out to pray, and I heard the Lord say, coward. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go back. You know what? We teach folks all the time. Folks say, how do you learn to hear the Holy Spirit? How do you learn to move in the Holy Spirit? How do you learn to move in the prophetic? And we tell them, look, just whatever you think the Lord is saying, go ahead and move on that. Just step out on that. Operate in that. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're not. But the only way you'll accomplish anything is by stepping out and trying it out. If you're wrong, well, God will forgive you. So I guess I should have taken my own advice, right? But anyway, the Lord got my attention and said, you go back and talk to that guy. So I walked back. I sat down beside him, and I asked him, I said, do you have a headache? Yes, I do. My head's hurting. And it's been hurting a long time, hasn't it? Yes, it's been hurting for a long time. I said, the Lord told me that if you'll let me pray for your headache, he'll heal you. No, you can't do that. I can't let you do that, he said. I said, well, look, you know that if you don't let me pray for you, you're going to continue to have that headache. He said, yes, I will. You can't pray for me. And I felt sorry for him. I got up. I was obedient. At least it was sad, because I know. I mean, it's me. I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 people we prayed for were absolutely, completely, instantly healed. I know this man would have been healed if he'd have let us pray for him. Well, anyway, it was sad. So there's some sad things like that that happen. So what other stories can I tell you? Had lots of young people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Lots of people in general got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're in one place, as a matter of fact, there in Masindi. Debbie and I were led to a whole group of teenagers and young people, and Lord told us to go pray for them to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And boy, they really felt the presence of God. I mean, you could see it on their face. They were really excited. We probably saw about, for the whole trip, 400 people get baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues for the first time in their life. And of those 400, I'll bet you 100 of them were clergy, pastors and pastor wives. And then we saw about 200 people get saved, give their heart to the Lord, and get born again. So a very, very fruitful trip. There in Masindi, there was a fellow there named Henry. He was bent over. He was using a cane. He wasn't bent over completely double, but he was way bent over and moving very slow. And so when it came time to pray, we prayed over Henry, and Henry started straightening up and started gaining some strength. And I'll bet you we prayed over Henry, you know, somebody was in and out and praying for him for maybe 30 minutes. And at the end of that 30 minutes, he wasn't completely straight. But whereas before he'd been sitting down all the time and we couldn't get him to stand up,
by the time we finished, we couldn't get him to sit down. Everybody was dancing, and he was dancing right along with them. I mean, he must have danced for 5 or 10 minutes with everybody. Part of his issue was there was some kind of spirit of infirmity or spirit of affliction over him, because Debbie would rebuke the devil and say, "You get off of Henry and leave him alone," and Henry would immediately straighten up. And then he would start kind of bending over a little bit more, and Debbie would rebuke the devil again. He'd straighten up again. So there was something else going on with that. But, you know, Henry was really set free that day. You ought to see him dance, man. Oh, when we started praying for him, as he would start to straighten up, especially if you were touching him, you could feel the popping going on in his muscles and his bones and cracking and stuff. It was like, wow, I don't know what's going on in there, but something's happening with that man. There was another sad story. Happened there at that service. There were two women that came up in the service in a wheelchair, and then there was another guy that came with them, and he was deaf in one ear. And I'm telling you, anybody that was deaf that we prayed for was healed. So we know this guy would have gotten healed. I mean, somebody in the team. So anyways, we start praying for people, and Bishop Chuck told these ladies in the wheelchair, said, "Now just be patient. We're going to pray for these other folks as quickly as we can, and because we want to be able to spend some time praying over y'all. If it takes us an hour or so, well, that's okay. We'll be glad to stay here and pray over you." And so we start praying for other people, and pretty soon we look up, and the two ladies in the wheelchair and the guy that's deaf in one ear, they're gone. And we wonder, well, what happened? Did somebody go over and pray for them and they were healed? Or, you know, what happened? Well, later, I guess it was that night, the bishop of that area got word about what happened. While those three people were sitting there waiting for us to pray for them, they were from the Church of Uganda, which is an Anglican church. It's a state church there in Uganda. They weren't part of the CEC congregation. They were from Church of Uganda. Apparently, their pastor texted them and told them, said, "You better not let them pray for you or you'll be in big trouble. You need to leave there right now." And unfortunately, they listened to him and they obeyed him and they left. They left, unfortunately, no different than they arrived. I mean, that's sad, but true. Well, we'll stop here for now, and we will pick this up again next week and finish telling you some stories about Uganda and what all God did there.